Welcome back to the Deep Dive. If you work in medicine, or even if you just follow healthcare news, you know, fields like radiology are facing immense pressure.
Oh, absolutely. We're seeing this huge rapid surge in medical data. Imaging requests are just exploding worldwide.
And there just aren't enough skilled people, enough radiologists to keep up. It's leading straight to cognitive overload, burnout, and frankly, dangerous delays in care.
It really is a perfect storm. You've got data saturation meeting staffing shortages head on. And, you know, AI has been touted as the solution for ages.
Right. The magic bullet.
Yeah. But most of the tools we have now, they're very narrow scoped. They might be fantastic at one specific thing, like spotting a brain bleed.
Uh-huh.
But they don't really help the radiologist manage the sheer complexity of the whole workflow. They don't adapt. They don't see the bigger picture.
So if that narrow AI is just a sort of Band-Aid, what's the actual path forward for this, well, systemic crisis?
That's what we're diving into today. We're looking at the blueprint for something called agentic systems, powered by large language models, LLMs.
Agentic systems, okay.
Yeah, these are designed to be autonomous, adaptive systems. They're built not just to analyze one image, but to perceive their whole clinical environment, reason through patient history, plan complex steps, and actually act across that whole process.
And we've got some great source material for this deep dive, right? It's a pretty comprehensive review paper.
Exactly. And crucially, it doesn't just, you know, hype up the potential. It really digs into the technical design, what kind of evaluation we need, and maybe most importantly, the serious challenges we absolutely have to tackle before these things go mainstream in high-stakes clinical work.
Okay, let's start with the basics then.
Yeah.
This fundamental shift away from narrow AI.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is an agent in this context? What makes it different?
Well, the core idea is that an agent is something that perceives its environment, you know, through sensors, and acts on that environment using actuators. And it does this with some level of autonomy. The key difference is that operational loop, a standard AI. You tell it to do something, it does it, it stops.
Right. One and done.
Exactly. An agent is designed to perceive, then reason about what it perceives, then act, then observe the outcome of its action, and then potentially reason and act again. It's iterative. It adapts.
And that iterative planning, that reasoning ability,
mm-hmm.
that's why the large language model, the LLM, is so central here. Why an LLM specifically?
It really comes down to the sheer breadth of their pre-training. LLMs have ingested just vast amounts of text and data, giving them this broad general knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they can understand and follow complex instructions given in natural language. That combination lets them do the kind of planning and, well, reasoning needed for these multi-step complex tasks. Things that an isolated LLM call or a narrow AI trained only on, say, chest x-rays just couldn't handle.
So we're talking about moving away from fixed tools towards something more like adaptive digital colleagues.
That's a great way to put it. And, you know, the level of agency isn't all or nothing. It's a spectrum.
Okay.
At one end, you might have semi-automated workflows. They follow predefined steps, but the LLM helps manage the sequence, pretty constrained.
Mm-hmm.
At the other end, you've got highly adaptive agents. These are needed for really open-ended problems, like maybe managing complex clinical research data or generating comprehensive structured reports from scratch. Much more autonomy there.
Okay, so the LLM is the brain doing the reasoning. But the brain needs ways to interact with the messy reality of a clinic, right? The imaging machines, the electronic health record, the PACE-PS system. How does the agent actually connect? It needs tools, I assume?
Absolutely essential. Tools are the agent's way to sense and act. We can kind of group them into three buckets.
Okay.
First, accessing dynamic or specialized knowledge. This is critical because, you know, an LLM trained last year doesn't know this year's new guidelines.
Right, it's instantly out of date.
Exactly. So tools let it query live databases like PubMed for the latest research or pull up specific current clinical guidelines, say the newest rules for managing lung nodules.
So like giving the agent a constantly updated library card. What about things LLMs just aren't good at, like looking at images or doing math?
That's the second category. Information augmentation. These are tools that handle tasks difficult for a language model. Think specialized vision AI.
Oh, okay.
So the agent might call out to a dedicated vision model like Total Segmentator to automatically outline and measure a tumor on a CT scan, or it might use a calculator tool for precise dose calculations. The LLM is the orchestrator, calling in the specialists when needed.
But wait, if it's constantly calling other specialized models, isn't that just like a very fancy way of stringing together a bunch of narrow AIs? Where's the agentic part?
That's a fair question. The agentic part is the orchestration itself. It's the LLM deciding which tool to use, when to use it, figuring out how to format the input for that tool, and then, crucially, interpreting the often complex structured output from the tool correctly. That high-level reasoning and planning is the agency.
Got it. It's the conductor, not just the individual instrument.
Precisely. And a third category of tools.
Right, the third one.
That's acting on the environment. These are the actuators we mentioned. Tools that let the agent actually do things in the real world, or at least the digital clinical world.
Like what?
Like flagging a critical finding on a radiologist's work list, or maybe even scheduling a follow-up appointment in the hospital system, or sending an alert. Things that have a direct effect.
Okay, that brings us to the thinking part. How does an agent take a complex goal, like say, write a full radiology report for this patient, and break it down into a sequence of these tool calls and actions?
Yeah, that requires reasoning and planning. The agent often uses something called chain of thought reasoning.
Chain of thought.
Yeah, it means instead of just spitting out a final answer, the LLM explicitly generates the intermediate thinking steps it took to get there. It sort of talks itself through the problem.
Huh, like showing your work in math class.
Kind of. It mirrors how a human radiologist works. Right. First, you organize the key findings. Then you decide, okay, which prior scans do I need? Are there guidelines I should check? Then you get the measurements or call the vision tool. And only then do you synthesize it all into the final impression or diagnosis.
And there are specific techniques for this.
Yes. A key one is that iterative loop we talked about, often formalized as REACT. That stands for Reason, Act, Observe. The agent thinks about what to do, reason, uses a tool, act, sees what happened, observe, and then uses that observation to decide the next step. It's a continuous cycle.
That cycle sounds powerful, but it leads directly to the memory issue. You said LLMs are inherently stateless. They forget everything between interactions. How do these agents keep track of context during a long, multi-step clinical workflow?
That statelessness is probably the biggest technical hurdle. So we rely heavily on external memory systems. The most common approach right now is retrieval augmented generation, or RAG.
Right, yeah.
Basically, before the LLM generates a response, the system queries an external trusted data source. This could be the patient's previous reports, departmental reporting templates, up-to-date clinical guidelines, whatever's relevant. And it takes that retrieved information and feeds it directly into the LLM prompt as context for that specific interaction. So the LLM isn't relying just on its old training data. It has fresh, relevant info for the task at hand.
So our RAG gives it immediate task-specific context. What about remembering things over time, like a doctor's preferences or what worked well on a similar case last week?
Right. That's where long-term memory comes in. This involves storing records of past interactions. It could be things like a specific radiologist preferred phrasing or remembering successful sequences of actions for certain types of complex cases.
That sounds incredibly useful for personalization.
It is. But it immediately rings alarm bells for governance and privacy, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You're logging potentially sensitive interactions in patient context long term.
Exactly. You need really strict controls on who can access that memory, how long it's stored, how it's anonymized. It's a major implementation challenge.
So managing all this context, using tools, dealing with memory, it requires careful system design, especially to avoid errors creeping in during those long chains of actions. How do we structure these systems safely?
That's where specific design patterns become important. The simplest one is just chaining.
Chaining.
Yeah, where the output of one LLM step becomes the input for the next one. Think of it like an assembly line. Maybe the first step generates a structured outline of findings. That outline gets passed to the next step to draft the main body of the report. Then that draft goes to a final step for formatting and checks.
Sequential processing.
Yeah.
Makes sense. And then you mentioned multi-agent systems, MAS. Why use multiple agents?
So MAS involves coordinating several specialized agents. Often it's hierarchical. You might have a supervisor agent that gets the main task.
Right.
It breaks that task down and delegates specific subtasks to different worker agents. One worker might be specialized in querying databases, another in interacting with vision models, another in drafting text.
Why the specialization?
Because general purpose agents, even powerful LLMs, can sometimes struggle with using specialized tools correctly. They might misinterpret the complex JSON output from a segmentation model, for example.
Gosh.
So having specialized agents, each expert in using just one or two tools, can lead to much higher accuracy and reliability for those specific steps. The supervisor then manages the workflow and makes sure the information flows correctly between them. It's like building in redundancy and error checking.
Okay, let's make this more concrete. The review paper had some great examples. Can you walk us through some specific clinical applications, maybe starting simple?
Sure. A really good example of low autonomy but potentially high impact is a chest x-ray consistency checker.
Okay, what does that do?
Imagine the radiologist is dictating their report. This agent runs in the background. It monitors the dictation stream in real time, while also looking at the current x-ray and retrieving the previous one. Now, let's say the radiologist finishes dictating the impression, but forgot to mention a brand new central line catheter that wasn't there on the prior scan.
Which happens, people get interrupted.
Exactly. The agent detects this discrepancy, new line visible, but not mentioned. It then flags it for the radiologist, maybe a simple pop-up. Prior film negative for CVC line, mention new line in report, and it might even suggest standard template language.
So it's not making the decision, but it's catching a potential oversight, a safety net.
Precisely. It reduces the cognitive load of having to double check everything and prevents a common type of error or omission that's huge for safety with minimal autonomy.
Okay, that's compelling. What about something more involved, like an end-to-end workflow?
Yeah.
You mentioned lung cancer screening reporting.
Yes, lung cancer screening, LCS, is a great example because it involves a lot of routine, multi-step processes that are perfect for agent orchestration.
How would that work?
Well, the agent would first identify that this is an LCS case. Then it automatically retrieves all the necessary context. Prior CT scans, the patient's smoking history from the EHR, the relevant lung rate S guidelines.
Okay, gathering the info.
Then it starts orchestrating the analysis. A key step here is image registration, lining up the current scan perfectly with the prior one so you can track nodule changes accurately. This is super tedious for humans.
I bet.
The agent can call an AI tool to do that automatically. Then it uses specialized vision models to detect any nodules, measure them, and assign the appropriate lung rate S category based on the guidelines.
And the reporting.
It drafts the initial report, pulling all this together. And importantly, if the radiologist makes edits, the system can log those preferences to personalize future drafts for that user. It handles the routine parts, freeing up the radiologist.
So it automates the tedious tracking and basic classification, letting the expert focus on the tricky bits or complex findings.
Exactly. It manages a structured workflow involving imaging, planning, context retrieval, and documentation.
Now let's go to the most complex scenario mentioned. Multidisciplinary team discussions, MDTs. These meetings are often, well, chaotic, fast-paced, lots of people talking, complex cases. How could an agent possibly help there?
This really shows the potential for adaptive assistance. It starts before the meeting. The agent can pre-process the cases, pulling relevant data from the EHR history, key findings, prior treatments, and synthesizing it into concise summaries for everyone attending.
Okay, that's huge. Saves a ton of prep time. But what about during the meeting itself?
This is where it gets really interesting. During the discussion, you'd have a specialized automatic speech recognition system, ASR, transcribing the conversation in real time. The agent monitors this live transcript. It uses its reasoning abilities to understand the conversation flow and detect when someone asks for specific information. Like if an oncologist asks, wait, remind me, what were her latest PFT results? Or what date did she start that new chemo? The agent hears this, understands the request, queries the relevant system like the EHR or the pulmonary function test database, retrieves that specific data point, and displays it immediately on screen for the whole team.
Wow. Real-time, context-aware information retrieval during a live discussion.
Yeah.
That changes everything for those meetings.
It's a potential paradigm shift for clinical collaboration, moving from static presentations to dynamic, interactive data exploration driven by the conversation itself.
But that complexity, listening, reasoning, acting across different systems in real time for the MDT, it screams potential for error. It makes it obvious why just measuring, say, image detection accuracy isn't nearly enough. We need serious evaluation.
Absolutely. The complexity demands we audit the entire process, not just the final answer. The review paper lays out four essential tiers of evaluation.
Okay, what's the first tier?
Planning. We need to assess. Did the agent propose a sensible sequence of actions to achieve the goal? And crucially, if a tool it planned to use suddenly becomes unavailable or fails, can it replan effectively? Or does it just crash? Can it recognize when it should stop and hand off?
So judging the strategy, what's next?
Second is execution. This means auditing the actual steps taken. Was the reasoning at each step correct? Did it call the right tool at the right time with the right inputs? Did it correctly interpret the tool's output, especially if it's structured data like JSON? We need that step-by-step verification.
Right, digging into the details. And the third tier.
Tier three is outcome. This is about overall task success. Did it actually accomplish the goal? But it also includes reliability. How consistently does it succeed if you run it multiple times?
Ah, consistency. You mentioned metrics like pass at K.
Exactly. Pass at K measures the probability that at least one out of 10 attempts succeeds. Useful maybe in development. But PASC measures the probability that all K attempts succeed.
Okay, why distinguish? For patient safety, don't you need it to work correctly the first time every time? Isn't PASC essentially what matters?
For high-stakes clinical tasks, absolutely.
Yeah.
PASC, aiming for consistent success on the first try, has to be the benchmark. Clinicians don't have time to rerun a critical query hoping it works the second or third time. Reliability is paramount.
Makes sense. And the fourth tier?
The fourth is system-level performance. This looks at the longer-term effects. Does it actually improve radiologist efficiency? How well does it integrate into the real clinical workflow? And what are the risks, like clinicians becoming de-skilled over time?
That leads us to the failure modes. Given this complexity, what's the biggest danger?
Probably the most insidious one is cascading errors, a small mistake early on. Maybe the LLM slightly misinterprets the output from a measurement tool or makes a subtle semantic error in summarizing a finding. That small error propagates through the subsequent steps.
It gets amplified.
Exactly. It compounds, potentially leading to a completely wrong, even dangerous, final conclusion.
The review had a chilling example of that, right? With lung nodules.
It did. A tiny error changing a 12-millimeter part solid ground glass nodule to just a 12-millimeter ground glass nodule sounds minor.
Yeah.
But clinically, that distinction dictates follow-up. One might need a repeat CT in 3 6-months, the other in 6 12-months. That small semantic slip cascades into a significant potential clinical error downstream. It's frighteningly easy for that to happen in a long chain.
Wow. And these agents also inherit the LLM's own flaws, right? Hallucinations, bias.
Definitely. They inherit core LLM limitations like confabulation, making things up convincingly, and reflecting biases present in their training data. Techniques like R help ground the LLM in factual data, which alleviates the problem but doesn't eliminate it entirely. You still need safeguards.
What about the human side? The risk of doctors just trusting the machine too much.
That's human AI interaction, and it's critical. The risk of automation bias just blindly accepting the AI suggestion is very real, and that leads to concerns about clinician de-skilling. If the agent always does the routine nodule measurements or the image registration perfectly, do radiologists gradually lose the skill to spot subtle errors or handle unusual cases where the AI fails? We need clear boundaries, maybe confidence scores from the AI, ways to ensure the human stays vigilant and maintains oversight.
And overarching all of this is the regulatory challenge.
Huge challenge. Current regulations for medical devices were built for static software. You validate it once, it gets approved, and it's expected to perform identically forever.
Right.
But these agentic systems, especially those with long-term memory and learning capabilities, are designed to adapt and potentially change their behavior over time. How do you regulate that? How do you ensure ongoing safety and efficacy when the system isn't fixed? It's a massive hurdle for getting these into widespread clinical use.
So wrapping this up, it feels like agentic AI is truly a fundamental shift for radiology support. We're moving beyond just finding things in images towards systems that can actually understand context, reason, plan, use tools, and coordinate complex clinical workflows. The real promise seems to be reducing that immense cognitive load on clinicians.
Exactly. And perhaps the most fascinating aspect is their potential to improve over time. By learning from interactions, logging successful strategies, adapting to individual user preferences like, you know, specific terminology or report structures a radiologist likes, they can become highly personalized and efficient assistants.
Which brings us to a really interesting final thought for you, our listeners. There's this inherent tension, isn't there? We absolutely need safety, predictability, reliability in patient care. Regulators demand it.
Mm-hmm.
But the real power and efficiency gains here might come from personalization, from the system adapting to the user and the specific situation. So what is the optimal balance? How much predictability do we enforce for safety versus how much adaptability do we allow for personalized efficiency? How much can we let the machine learn and evolve on the job?
That's the tightrope we'll need to walk as these powerful systems move from research labs into the daily reality of caring for patients.
Something to definitely think about. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.